You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
You know, I was thinking, meditating on this day and what we're celebrating, you know, and I try not to preach so much on current events. I know some preachers just, whatever's going on in the world, that's what they're going to preach on. And if you're not careful, what happens is you're not really hearing the Holy Ghost. You're just letting the devil decide what you preach. You know, they'll do it in church. We've got a problem in the church, they'll preach on that problem that next week. So they're not getting their sermons from the Spirit. They're getting it from circumstance or getting it from situations. Now, having said that, we still need to be current as to what's going on in the world. And when you come to church, you should get answers. Are you with me? So there's a balance there. But I was meditating on this time that we're celebrating. We hear a lot on the news, and you hear a lot of people say, well, we'll never be the same, you know, and this country will never be the same. Really, that's not true. I mean, things like this happen around the world, have happened for forever, as long as people have been on the earth. There have been wars, there's been attacks, there's been terrorist attacks, there have been outright war, and people die. And that's a tragedy of life, is that people die. But I can guarantee you, whether you're in a war or whether you're in a terrorist attack, that you have a 100% chance of dying. Every one of us do. Not to lighten up or belittle or demean the pain and the tragedy that took place, because it was a tragedy that took place. You know, just evil. God didn't do that. God didn't have a plan. God didn't have a purpose. God was not in control. That was evil. That was the devil that did that. That was rebellion that took place. Those were cowards that flew those planes into those buildings and killed all those people. They were demented, deluded, radical Islamists that would just they were just cowards to kill all those innocent people who'd never done a thing to anybody. That was not war. Are you with me? It was senseless, so you can't make sense out of it. It was evil. It was not God. The thief comes, steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that might have life, is what Jesus said. Now, you can take all the commentary and all the theology and philosophy you want to take. I think I'll just take Jesus' word on the matter. God's good. Amen. Devil's bad. So we understand that. But having said that, I remember when that took place. I know every one of us, you know, that was of age definitely remembers that day that it happened. And I remember what I preached. The very next message is a Wednesday night. And I'm going to preach it to you again today. It was, some things never change. It came alive to me. I mean, I thought about all the tragedy and the emotion and the you know, it was so current. People were upset and people were mad. Rightly so. People were hurt. People were grieved and so on, and rightly so. And yet there was a coming together of our nation like never before. There were no Republicans. There were no Democrats. They're just... There were just Americans that come together that we, you know, tragedy does that. It's amazing to me. And as bad as something is, as bad as the devil wants to kill, steal, and destroy, it has this thing that it bonds people. You know, people gather together. They want to help. You have a flood. You have a hurricane. You have fires. People start coming out of the woodwork, man. They want to go help somebody. It's innate in us. We want to help each other. We want to do what's right. We know what's right. And that's just wrong. I mean, that flood's wrong. And you know, and fires, they're just wrong. And 9/11 was wrong. It was not right. You know, but there was a bonding that came together at that time. I thought that was just so awesome. You know, there was nothing political going on. We were Americans, and, you know, flags were popping up everywhere. I mean, patriotism was at an all-time high. And, oh, would God we get that way again. Not from a tragedy, but just remember what we have in common. You know, remember what makes us one. You know, as Christians, why can't we do that as Christians? That's what gets me. We have so many different churches. Thank God for churches. I am pro-church. Baptist, Methodist, Catholic, Church of Christ, Assembly of God. If they name the name of Christ, I am for them. But we tend to spend a lot of time on what we disagree on instead of what we do agree on, you know. We agree on Christ. But in the midst of all that, while all that was going on, and while some tragedy may be happening in your life, I don't know. You know, life has a way of surprising you and sucker punching you, as it is, knocking your feet out from under you. You know, life's not always good. God's good. God's good, but life's not always good. Life's not always fair. This is a broken world we live in. It's been broken ever since Adam sinned. God's going to fix it one day, but it hadn't been fixed yet. And we are down here to make a difference and change some things. But in the midst of all this changing that goes on, I hate change. I don't like change. You know how a cat is? You know, you move furniture in a house. You got a cat? Anybody got a cat? You move furniture in a house, cat's going to hit the furniture. It has this little pattern it goes through. You know, it runs through the house a certain way. You move a chair around, it doesn't look. It's just got it. It's ingrained in them. I go this way, this way, this way. Bam! Just run right into the chair because mama moved the chair. You know, because we don't like change. We like things all set in order and everything just the way it should be, you know. And then something like this disrupts everything. You know, it's not right. It shouldn't be that way. What are we going to do? You know, what are we going to do now? They've attacked our country. Or what are we going to do now? I've lost this loved one. Or what are we going to do now? I lost this job. Or what are we going to do now? My house burnt down or whatever. Well, I can tell you this. I want to give you a few things here that the Bible is very plain about. Some things never change. Number one, God. He does not change. Malachi 3, if you'll turn there with me, if you will, so you can look at it. If you write notes, I hope you write this down. Malachi 3, of course, is a great chapter. We often refer to it talking about the tithe, and every preacher loves Malachi 3. You know, bring those tithes in the storehouse in that 10th verse. You know. But if you'll back up in the third chapter of Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, it says in the 6th verse, "For I am the Lord, I change not." I'm reading out a New King James Version here. "I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob, you're not consumed." I love that. Because what he's saying was, if it weren't for the mercy of God, if God weren't unchanging, the devil would have killed everybody by now. He really would have, because the devil hates everybody. But God stays his hand because of his mercy. He holds back and protects because we pray or believe or whatever and the case may be. And because God doesn't change, we're not consumed. Amen. Man, I love that. So no matter what goes on, a tragedy, a crisis, a change that takes place, man, God never changes. You know 9/11 didn't change God? Didn't change God. Actually, World War I didn't change God. World War II didn't change God. Vietnam War didn't change God. Afghanistan, Gulf War didn't change God in Iraq. God is always the same, still the same, always has been the same. He's the Lord God, He changes not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. You know, when you think about His mercy, God's mercy is everlasting, everlasting. You think about His love, He loves us with an everlasting love. He doesn't have a love that changes, and He doesn't have a mercy that changes. And so when crisis hits and something happens that you didn't plan on, I don't know if you ever had that happen. You ever had that happen, something happened you didn't plan on? It happens all the time. You know, what do we do in this mixed up crazy world? We pull our hair out and just, you know, and just give up and throw the towel in. It's so unpredictable. I'm so confused. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to turn left, right. What should I do? Well, hey, just keep trusting God. He hadn't changed.
That's right.
Did you know that the day before 9/11 and the day after 9/11, that if you prayed and believed God the day before, God would hear you and answer your prayer?
Amen.
And if you prayed to God the day after 9/11, God would still hear your prayer and He'd still answer your prayer? Did you know if you call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, according to Romans 10:13, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The 10th day of September 2001, that you'd have gotten saved. And did you know if you call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ the 12th day, the day after 9/11, you'd still get saved? Why is that? Because God doesn't change. Nothing changes God. He's still the same. In fact, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah, somebody.
Hallelujah.
Woo! So if you read through the Scripture and you see what Jesus did in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you watch Him on the shores, walk the shores of Galilee in the streets of Capernaum and heal the sick and raise the dead and cast out devils, and you watch Him forgive sinners and restore people and get them back on their feet again, and you watch Him move through the crowd and change lives, touch lives, you can write this down. He's still doing that today. Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still helping, you know, hurting people. He's still healing broken hearts. He's still healing legs and eyes and arms. And He's still putting people's lives back together. He's still saving and forgiving. He's still raising from the dead. I tell you, He has not changed.
That's right.
We have a constant. We have an anchor in this storm-tossed world we live in. Hallelujah. There is an anchor of our soul, and that anchor is God, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, God Himself, and He doesn't change. Now, that's encouraging to me.
Yes.
Because no matter what happens, I don't care, you can move the furniture. I might just run right into it and fall back on my, you know, my backside, fall down. But when my eyes open, I realize that moment of time, God has not changed. God doesn't move furniture. He doesn't. I mean, however you get to God and call on God and believe God and trust God, however you did it, you know, when you got saved, it's still the same way you do it today. And nothing in your life is ever going to change that. God doesn't change, and I'll tell you something else doesn't change. His Word doesn't change. Aren't you glad? Mark 13, chapter. Turn there if you will. If you have notes, you can turn. Mark 13. Jesus is talking about the end times, and I believe we're living in the end times. If you want to know the truth. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Jesus talked about in the 13th chapter of Mark and also Matthew 24 and 25 and Luke 17, Luke 21. And, of course, the whole book of Revelation is about the end times, about the coming of the Lord. How many of you know Jesus is coming?
Amen.
Woohoo! I believe He can come any day. Yes. Could be today. Could be before I finish my message. You know, but that's fine. Even so, come Lord Jesus. We look for His coming. We ought to live like as if He can come any minute. But in talking about the end times, he talks about earthquakes and divers places, many places, you know, King James Version. He talks about all kinds of things, signs in the heavens and above. And he says, when you see all these things happening, lift up your head, your redemption draweth nigh. But in explaining that, in the 13th chapter of Mark, in the 31st verse, one we quote often, Mark 13:31, he said, heaven and earth shall pass away. But my words shall not pass away. They will never pass away. Man, I love that. You know, they actually dug up. I should have got all that information. But they dug up this up. They had this find in Egypt. You know, they dug up some tomb. And thousands of years old. They got in there and they had these pots in there. And they took out some of these pots. And one of them had corn in it. Literally. They had all kinds of things. They'd bury these pharaohs, you know, with weapons and food and everything. So they'd have something to eat in the afterlife. Boy, they get a rude awakening, you know, when they got on the other side. But anyway, they actually took these seeds of corn out and planted them. And did you know they came up? They've been in there for thousands of years. But they put them in the ground and watered them and germinated them. And then all of a sudden, they grew. They actually did that because the seed was still there and it didn't change. The seed was still as powerful as it ever was. It just needed to be put in the ground watered. That's all. God's Word is that way.
Yeah.
Oh, this is a book that's thousands of years old. Parts of it's several thousand years old. You know, and the New Testament, some 2,000 years old. The Old Testament is older than that. But, you know, these words never change. So no matter what happens in your life, no matter what tragedy you face, no matter what crisis takes place, you can write it down. God doesn't change, and His Word doesn't change. And if you'll open up this book and you dig in there and take you out some of these seeds and you'll plant them in your heart and you'll water them with prayer and faith and the Word, they will produce.
Amen.
Hallelujah, somebody.
Hallelujah.
Better preach and y'all are amen it. You know, so there's good news. Hallelujah. Literally, good news. The good news of Jesus Christ does not change. His words will never, ever pass away. Isn't that amazing? I mean, these walls will pass away. These chairs, this carpet, your body will change. This corruptible will put on incorruption. This mortal will put on immortality. Death will be swallowed up of life. The grave will lose its victory. Death will lose its sting. But you and I will live on and on and on and on and on because the Bible says so. Hallelujah. Because it's in the Word.
Amen.
And we'll look at all this as an old tale one day because we've got God's promises on the matter. I know the future. I mean, you can read the newspaper, see what happened. I've already read what's going to happen. Like Brother Osteen used to say when he'd get on a plane, you know, he'd get on a plane, sit down beside someone, the guy'd have a newspaper. He did this lots of times. And he'd grab his Bible and he'd elbow that guy and he'd say, "You got the bad news, I got the good news." Amen. We got the good news. Hallelujah. I know how it's going to turn out. Let me tell you something. It's going to be all right. For us, it's going to be fine. I know the Lord. I have a call on Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I've been washed in the blood. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. I have an inheritance with the saints in light. My citizenship is in heaven. Hallelujah. I got a new home.
Amen. Amen.
I got a bright future. Woo! I know how it turns out. I win this deal, praise God. Because God's Word never changes. You know, if you write notes, you can write down Psalms 119, verse 89 says, "Forever, O Lord, Your Word is settled in heaven." You need to get that straight in your life. You need to get something settled in your life. All of us need to make that decision. It's a quality decision, but it's a life-changing one. You need to make a decision in your life that God's Word is forever settled. Amen. That God's Word is true. You need to develop an unshakable confidence in what God says. Because you're going to be shaken by everything else if you don't make if you don't develop an unshakable confidence in God's Word. Because everything in this life can be shaken and will be shaken. Every foundation will be shaken. Everything anybody ever trusts in will be shaken. But God's Word will not be shaken.
That's right.
Hallelujah. It'll always be here. It's eternal. So in light of all that can happen in life, bad, good, indifferent, God's Word never changes. God never changes. And here's another one. Turn to Romans 1. You'll love this. Romans 1st chapter. Hallelujah. You know, Romans 1, verse 16 and 17. This helping you?
Yes.
Okay. Because we need some constants. You know, we need something to go by. You know, you're not living in a world that's just completely and totally unpredictable. There are things that happen. There's a God who's always the same you can call on that you can trust in. There's an anchor that, you know, when the storms come and the wind blows, but you've got your anchor set, you're going to be fine. You need to get anchored in the Word. Anchored in God and anchored in the Word. Amen? In Romans, the first chapter, the 16th verse, which we all know, it says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." To everyone that believeth. Everybody say to everyone that believeth. There's a key there, if you think about it. Because the gospel is not the power of salvation to everyone. It's only to everyone that believeth. Because a lot of people don't believe. So the gospel is not so powerful that it'll save people that don't believe.
Right.
It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes.
That's right.
Oh, that's good preaching. Preach, I love it. Hallelujah. Oh, come on. Don't stop now. Okay. I'll just add my cell phone. You've got to believe. Are you out there? You've got to believe. But if you will believe the gospel, the good news, that's what gospel is. The good news of Jesus Christ is the power of God to save, to heal, to deliver. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. 17th verse says, "For the just shall live by faith." That's the point I want to make. God never changes. His Word never changes. And you know, the rules never change. I hate that when you're playing a game with your grandchildren. Come on, I got a little pride. Come on. And they throw something out there and I go, "What's that?" And they say, "Well, that's what I did this and I did that. We can do that." "No, you can't do that." Yeah, it's a new rule. I go, I never heard that rule. What are you talking about? What kind of rule is that? "Oh, yeah, we always do it. And that's the way we do it." "Yeah, we do it that way. Papa, that's the way we do it." "Well, where did you come up with that rule?" The rules are always changing, you know. So you don't. It always catches you by surprise if rules are always changing. You don't know what to do. Isn't that true? Okay. So if we're not putting our faith in God and faith in His Word, are you with me? Then we're at the mercy of an ever-changing system. We never know what's up, what's down, what's sideways, what's right, what's good, what's wrong. We live in a day like that, incidentally, where there are no absolutes. You know, what used to be wrong now is right. What used to be right now wrong. Well, listen, hey, the way we operate and the way we live as Christian has never changed. We live by faith. That's the way we live. We live our lives trusting God. Yeah, but this happened. Well, okay, but are you trusting God? Yeah, but how could you ever know everything that's ever going to happen to you? You can't, but you can be sure of this. You can make a decision that whatever does happen, you're going to trust God. Because that rule does not change. The just live by faith. So 9/11 didn't change that. And no tragedy in your life ever changed that. No loss of a loved one changed that. No financial crisis. And there's a lot of bad things happening in this life. I mean, come on. And my heart goes out, and we should pray for one another and should grieve with those that grieve, mourn with those that mourn, and rejoice with those that rejoice. I understand all that. But nothing and none of that changes this. When it's all done and the crying's over, we get back up on our feet and we believe God. That's what we do. When you don't feel like it, you get up and you do what's right. When everything's opposing you and everything's against you and everybody says no, 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 you get up and say yes, yes, yes. God says this and this is what I'm going to do and this is the right thing to. And I may not feel like it and it may not look like it's the right thing to do, but this is what God says. He says I'm supposed to live by faith. That never changes. He hadn't changed the rules. Don't you throw those new rules on me. Oh, it's a new day, it's new rules. No, there's no new rules here. It's just the same rules. Always has been the same rules. We trust God. That's what we do. When the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? That's what Jesus said. I love that. He's just watching over His Word to perform it, Jeremiah 1:12. He's looking, watching for someone to stand on His Word and to believe His Word. Why? So He can perform it. So He can do it. Because that's what He does. And He doesn't change. Oh, we change, but He doesn't. Circumstances change, but He doesn't. And neither does His Word. And neither do the rules that we live by. In fact, we've got this on our banner, 2 Corinthians 5:7. We walk by faith and not by sight. Y'all, it looks pretty bad. Well, it doesn't matter. We're going to walk by faith. Yeah, but did you hear what I heard? Well, I don't know what you heard, but I know what the Bible says and what God says, and I'm going to walk by faith. Are you with me? And I know if I walk by faith and do what God says, and since God doesn't change and His Word doesn't change, praise God, He'll come to pass. He'll come through for me. Woo! Are you out there?
Yes.
See, these things don't change. God, His Word, the rules that we live by. Turn to 1 Timothy 6. Here's another thing that doesn't change. 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter. This kind of goes along the lines of the rules never change, but it's somewhat different. Man, I'm glad some things don't change. I'm glad I can count on this. Even when I'm not feeling good, this is still there. It's still the same. It's like a rock. You know, I was ministering in India one time in 1980, and I had gone to, I was there 6 weeks one time, 3 weeks another. This is obviously before I started pastoring. And the second time I went, it was just a couple weeks after Amanda was born. And that was the roughest 6 weeks I've ever been anywhere in my life. Because, man, I was praying every morning and every night, just, you know, homesick and all, you know, just fighting all that. All I could see is Brent at the airport holding that little baby crying, and I couldn't get that picture out of my head, you know, and. Oh, okay. There I was, preaching the gospel, you know, sacrificing for the Lord. I thought, man, what am I doing over here? I need to be home with my wife and my baby. And, you know, and anyway, I preached all over southern India. I was in Bombay for a while, a couple weeks in Bombay. But I went to this village in South India I thought was really neat. I'd preached all up the coastline. It was in the state of Kerala, and they speak Malayalam. That's Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. Sound like tongues, didn't it? Devam Shneha Maganu. That's God is love. Yeshu Vegam Vedanu. Jesus is coming soon. Anyway, those Bible school students would go through the street just quoting those verses. It was just amazing. But we had gone to, I'd preached up the coastline, Alapi and Cochin, and we'd gone through Trichur, and we'd gone up into the mountains of Manimuli. This is a real place. I just love those names. I was in Mavalakera, where I was, where I started. But anyway, we went to this place, Manimuli, and we got it to this tribal region where they didn't speak Malayalam, which was the state religion. You know, there's like 17 different languages in India and 750 dialects. I think it's 18 languages. And the language of this, the states were divided by language. Every state speaks a different language. And they also speak Hindi, which is the national language. But this tribe didn't speak a written language. They didn't speak Malayalam. And so I had to have an interpreter for the interpreter. So I'd speak in English and the Malayalam, and then the interpreter would, in the tribal language, because it was written, would interpret it. And as we went into that village, it was down on the side of a mountain, and you come around a curve, just kind of around this curve to go down into the village, and there's this big rock, huge rock, about a half the size of the platform. You know, and it may be about twice as high. And we got down in there, and we took food down in there, and just evangelized them. They hadn't heard the gospel. Went down and preached to them, you know. Took a bunch of food, and they all gathered around. Man, you bring food, they just come out of the woodwork. There's a few hundred of them there. And they were just couldn't believe I was there, a white person. And I had blonde hair, and I had an afro back then, you know. They'd never seen a white person. Literally, never seen a white person in their life. And so I'm there preaching to them through this interpreter. They believed that rock that we went past was God. They worshiped that rock. And the reason they worshiped that rock was because when the rain came and the storms came, the rock never changed. And when the wind blew, it never changed. When the monsoons came through every year and flooded out everything, that rock was still there. So they had a good concept. Are you with me? They just had they need a little tweaking. They needed to come to the rock of our salvation. Amen? So I just preached to them. I preached to them how Jesus was the rock and how he never changed. And I preached to them how he'd come and he'd died and rose again. Had explained the whole story, the gospel story. It's amazing. You know, we take so much for granted. We know so much already. And then we give an invitation and, you know, and, oh, I mean, all of them lift their hands. I don't know how many really meant it or not. I don't know. But they all lifted their hands. And we prayed with them to accept and receive Jesus. But it really it stuck with me, the concept that they had without a Bible. Well, that just something inside of them knew that God must be unchanging. He must be unaffected, you know, by the storms and by the wind. That he's so strong that it couldn't move him. And actually, in one sense, they had more faith in their wrong God than we do in our right God. Are you getting me? Because a tragedy happens, and what we do, we think God changes. Yeah. We think it's a little bigger than he can handle, you know, or this is too much, it's over the top. I don't know how God's ever going to get us out of this one. But God doesn't change. He can get us out of this one. He is God, and there is none beside him. Hallelujah. And there's none that can deliver out of his hand. And here's the thing. God doesn't change. His word doesn't change. The rules don't change. And in this verse, you see in 1 Timothy 6:12, it says, fight the good fight of faith. The battle you and I fight, although it may be against jihadists and maybe against Al-Qaeda and maybe against radical Muslim, maybe against Afghanistan, I don't know, Iraq, Saddam Hussein, Osama bin Laden, we can just name person after person. But the battle we fight is a fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. When a crisis hits, here's what it comes down to. You're being tempted to doubt God. And the word's trying to get you to believe God. You're being tempted to give in and throw in the towel and give up, not trust, or to dig in, get the word of God out, seek the face of God who never changes, grab his word which never changes, obey the rules of faith, we live by faith, and fight the good fight of faith that never changes, that never changes. I can think of a lot of situations in my life, in our life, our family, in our church, in our family, where I was, I felt like a shell of a man. Just touch me and I'm going to shatter. You know, what had taken place was overwhelming. The report we heard was too much. You know, just too much for us to bear, you know. But in prayer and in believing God and making a decision that we're going to trust God, that if I have to, my lips quivering, it's going to quiver out the word. If my knees knock, they're going to knock kneeling on them. Are you with me? It's not whether you quiver. It's not whether you shake. It's whether you believe. Don't you get confused here about this. Yeah, but I'm just shaking. That doesn't matter. You just shake your hands on up in the air. But my lips just quiver out the word, and you say, Jesus, you get it out. Come on, you say it. Don't you pay attention to your shaking lips and your quivering knees and your quivering hands. You get on your knees and you pray and you believe. These are the rules. This is the way it works. Are you with me? This is the fight that we fight. You know, if you don't shoot that gun, you're going to get shot. If you don't hold it up, you're going to get run over, see? And in this battle of life, and it is a battle. 9/11 was a battle. It was a battle of a lot of people. It tried men's souls. It tried our souls. But it was a time for us to prove our mettle. It was a time for us to dig in and say, oh, I believe God. I trust God. God is still good. God is still my Savior. He's still my provider. He's still my protector. He's still my Lord. Are you with me? I will not fear what men can do to me. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to fight the good fight of faith. I'm going to lay hold on eternal life. I'm going to profess a good profession and confession before many witnesses. I know it looks bad, but God hadn't died and He's still on the throne. Hallelujah. His word's still true. Amen. So that hasn't changed. You know, real quick, let me give you a couple more because it's getting toward 12. Y'all taking up all my time here this morning. God, His word, the rules we live by, the battle we fight. Hey, the enemy we fight. You know, the enemy is not Osama bin Laden. Well, it's not now, that's for sure. But the enemy is not Saddam Hussein. And, of course, you know, we took him out. But that's not the enemy. I know that we got enemies in the natural. I understand that. We have an obligation to fight and defend our country, and I'm all for that. I believe in that. I believe in defending your life, and I believe that the right to bear arms. I believe you ought to, own a. If you're a man, well, I'm getting in trouble. Let me just stop right there. You have the right to bear arms. If you don't want to, don't. Go let someone take your house and your home and your wife and your kids and kill you if you want. That's fine. You're not going to take my house. I'll shoot you if you come to my house. I believe you ought to defend yourself. Are you with me? If you got a problem with that, well, fine. I'll preach at your funeral. But I'm trying to get out of this, okay? I got myself in a hole. I'm trying to get out of it. But I know and I understand in the natural, okay, that's all natural, and I believe we have obligations in the natural to do those things. But our enemy is not, that's not our real enemy. Our enemy, 1 Peter 5, turn there real quick. 1 Peter chapter 5. I got two things I want to say here, okay? Just hang in here with me. We're going to make it. We're going to beat the Baptists to the Brookshires. God bless the Baptists. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober. Be vigilant. We need to be aware. See, one thing about 9/11, if we could say anything good, nothing good about it. It was evil. It was bad. It was wrong. There's no sense in it. But you know what? It woke us up. It woke us up in a lot of ways. Maybe we went too far in some security issues, but I tell you what, we needed to strengthen some security in our country. Are you with me? We needed to do some things. And so it woke us up. And anything a tragedy can do, it can wake us up. It wake us up that we're not in heaven. You know, every funeral I preach, I'm reminded of that. Every funeral that I minister at, I'm reminded of the fact that I'm not in heaven. People don't die in heaven. Are you with me? Every family you deal with and you pray with and you try to encourage and try to help them through a loss like that and get them back in faith, you know, and they're just in pain and shock the first few days and you pray with them and you believe with them. I'm reminded, you know what, this is not heaven. This is a war zone. There's good days and we have great days and great times, but there's a war going on here. We got an enemy that hates us. He hates you. He hates your wife and hates your husband. Hates family. Hates marriage. Hates kids. Wants to kill you. There's a battle going on for your soul. There's a battle going on for your marriage. And you cannot just lay down. You need to, as a warrior of Christ, as a soldier in the army of the Lord, you have to stand up for what is right and believe God and pray and live holy and live right because there is a battle going on. And we need to be sober and we need to be vigilant because our adversary, our enemy, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Yeah. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? Amen. We can resist him in the faith. And see, just full circle, just comes back around to faith again. So God doesn't change, His word doesn't change, the rules don't change, the fight we fight, the fight of faith doesn't change, the enemy doesn't change, it's still the devil. Right. Amen? Amen? No matter what's happening, those things are the same. You can write those things down, they will never change. So you look at this situation, this crisis, this tragedy, this sucker punch, this thing that caught you sideways and knocked your feet out from under you. You stop and you look at this thing in light of this and say, wait a minute, whoa, wait a minute, slow down here now. Wait a minute, now I know God doesn't change. He's good. Say, this is not him. He's not my enemy. The devil's my enemy. And God's got some promises here that are still true. I think I'm going to call on God and stand on it because the rules don't change. I'm supposed to believe him. Hey, that's the fight. This is the battle. I got to pick up my weapons here, my sword of faith or shield of faith and sword of the Spirit. And then, lastly, but not leastly, you can just write this down. We've got time we turn to. I can quote it faster. We can turn to it anyway. You know, 1 Corinthians 15:57, you know what it says? It says, thanks be unto God who gives us the victory through Christ Jesus our Lord. Let me tell you something never changes either. The outcome. No matter what happens here, we win this deal. Amen. The outcome has been already determined. Hallelujah. We have the victory through Christ Jesus our Lord. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph in Christ. If we'll hold true and we'll believe God and stand on His Word, listen, we will win. We will win. We already have won it. When the devil reminds you of your past, you remind him of his future. He loses, we win. You know, here we are 10 years later down this road in America, United States of America, from a tragedy that took place on our shores. Here we are, and we're still standing. And that's just a country, that's just a nation, that's just a natural thing. But some things just never change. Amen? You trust God, you're going to be fine. Don't quit believing. Don't quit trusting. Amen? No matter what happens, you can't control everything that happens. You can't predict everything that happens. But you can know this. These things remain the same. God, His Word, the rules we live by, the fight we fight, the enemy, who is the devil, not God, and the outcome. If we fight, we win. Amen. The only way you can lose is not fight.